One of the great gifts that has been given to us by Jesus in continuing his love and his message of love and mercy in the world today is that he breathed upon us, his apostles, and he said to us, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. And after the great gift of the Eucharist, which Jesus gave us on the night before he died at the Last Supper, when he gave us his body and his blood, when he gave us that powerful gift of the Eucharist, which is the suffering and death and resurrection which he was about to undergo on the night before he died, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. He gives us himself with his own hands. I will remain with you. That powerful and precious gift which we have as we gather around the altar to celebrate the mystery of the Eucharist, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As each time we come together, as a group of Catholic Christians, we are fed the body and blood of Christ. The gift of forgiveness of sins. Who can forgive sins except God? And so liberal and powerful is God's love for sinners that he has given to us this power, the keys of forgiveness. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. So every Catholic Christian is instructed that when you're burdened with brokenness, sinfulness, a need for inner healing, come to this sacrament. And every Catholic is acquainted with the confessional. And so in my instruction as a child, and I really believe we did a very poor job, I really do. In some ways, we were so afraid, even though many people say about us Catholics, how can you tell your sins to another person? And yet we have such a gift that we can actually go to a priest and tell those innermost brokennesses of our lives and know that he will never repeat that, what we have said. The guardianship of the anonymity and the place where we can go and be naked before God and receive healing and forgiveness for those sins. Every Catholic Christian is aware of that, that I can go whenever I want, wherever I choose. When I'm burdened by my brokenness and sinfulness and need for healing, I can go to any priest and confess my sins with the assurance that what I say there will not be repeated. And so, as little children, we were instructed, and this was the instruction we had, and this is how we used to go. Because in when I was a little boy, Saturday was not the vigil for Sunday Mass. Saturday was Confession Day. And many of you that might be listening to me still might remember that Saturday was confessions. And I used to go down when I was a little boy, and we were instructed. I would go with my mother and my father every Saturday, and my brother and my sister. We'd all get in the car and go down to church. And we'd be there, and we would be examining our conscience. And that was what we were told to do. You first had to examine your conscience. Well, I remember so many times on going to confession with my family. I mean, we all used to help our father examine his conscience because he was like the champion curser of northeastern Pennsylvania when he got angry. And so we used to remind, sometimes on Saturday he didn't want to go. I don't think I have to go, Celia. I don't have any sins. Well, remember when you said, oh, and then we'd all go down. My mother used to say to him, do you think you're the Immaculate Conception? So we'd get in the car, and children, mother and father, down to St. Anthony's Church, and with the examination of conscience. That was a big one. And sometimes we had group examinations. I remember my brother used to, because we had to go over the sins, and that's what we were told we had to do. We had to tell the priest our sins and how many times we did the sin and the nature of the sin. So I would be thinking about the times that I said bad words. And I would say, three. I said these words three times. And my brother would remind you, oh, I remember, John. And I'd say, okay, four. So I'd have the sin, disobedience, fighting with my brother, not sharing what I had, and all these things. We'd go over those as children. And then we'd go into the confessional and tell our sins to the priest. We tell Father Corey, he was our pastor, and we would tell our sins, and then he would listen to our recitation of our sins, and then he would give us a penance to pray. We had to pray some prayers, maybe three Our Fathers, or some prayer that or penance that the priest would give. And then we would make an act of contrition. We'd tell God how sorry we were for our sins. We actually were taught a formula. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because I offend thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of thy grace, to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. Amen. Amen. And then Father Corey, our pastor, would give us absolution. And we would really feel very cleansed and purified of whatever sins we had. We'd go out of the confessional and say our penance. Well, something is very, and some of us are still going to confession in the same way. And if you're really listening, I think particularly there was something poor about that instruction. And that was with regard to the examination of conscience. You see, no one knows, even me, what breaks my relationship with Jesus. When I was baptized, I was united to Christ. All my sins were forgiven through baptism. I'm going to be responsible for the sins that I have committed after baptism. And that's why when children or people go to confession, they are required to make this examination of conscience. Baptism united me with Jesus. And now, that which separates me from Jesus is what sin is. When you look at me, and I look at you, and I don't see Jesus in you, the only thing that prevents me from being Jesus or you is sin. And so what is that in me that keeps me from being Christ in the world today? And that's my sin. And every single human being, because of the tendency we have, and this is what the Catholic Church teaches, has a tendency, a disposition, that will take me away from our Lord. Each person has a characteristic flaw, an inherent brokenness, a weakness that tends to take me away. And many times it's a characteristic that would be like a core wound. And I believe that's what this examine could help us come to discover. What is that in me that tends to not have me be Christ in the world today? And so this could go, and most of the time goes all the way back in my life. When I was a little girl growing up, I had a tendency to be jealous. When my sister got a new dress, I was jealous. When someone got A's in school, I was really upset. When someone got recognized, you have a pretty dress, you have a nice voice, and someone was honored, there was something in me that was so upset. And as I look in my rearview mirror, all the way through my life, when people attained honors and recognition, and I covered it up, and even now, one of my deepest wounds is I'm really not happy with the honor and gifts that others have. Yes, I discover that we are the mystical body of Christ. I discover that each one has gifts. And what you have, I don't have. What I have, you don't have. And our world is to cooperate in Christ. But I also have this whole world that I was so deformed in, competition, comparison and competition. And therefore, I have to be the first, I have to be the best, I have to have the most. And as a result, this envy or jealousy is my wound. And I can look on the surface like I'm not, but in deep in my heart, so when I want to be Jesus, I want to be this Christ, this person who enjoys and rejoices in the gifts that others have, but I don't. That is like a wound. Some people have a different kind of wound. They have a core wound that is judgmental. Yes, when I was Christ and baptized into Christ at my baptism, as I grow, I take communion, I want to go to confession. But my wound is I judge people. I see and I have a critical eye. See, with Christ, I'm supposed to see with the eyes of Jesus. My eyes are Christ's eyes. My ears are Christ's ears. When I hear, when I see, and when I encounter others, I look for Christ in them. What a deep wound it is when we see this person to judge them. Who does he think he is? Who does she make herself out to be? And we're cutting people down in our own hearts. What a horrible thing that is. All day long, as I go along and I see the worst in people, I see that which I can criticize them and bring them down in. The words in Matthew's Gospel in the 7th chapter, "Stop judging that you may not be judged. Why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye when you have a wooden beam in your own?" And then the gentle Jesus says, "You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your own eye so that you can see clearly enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So that Jesus sees this as a big separation from himself. And what he saw, when he saw the adulteress, he saw her beauty, he saw her love. When he sees sinners, when he saw the tax collectors and the outcasts, he saw the goodness in them, and he came to heal the brokenhearted, to forgive sinners. That beautiful text in Mark's Gospel, the paralyzed man. And even before he heals the man's paralysis, he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees say, "Who is he to forgive sins?" You see, that's the one that we encounter in the confessional. When we go to this sacrament, this is the one we are going to. In the confessional, there is a sign. It's the crucifix. And every time you go, you kneel in the confessional before the Lord. You're kneeling, actually, at Calvary. When Jesus died on Calvary in the year 33, he, because he was God, sees the whole world from Calvary. If I be lifted up, I shall draw all to myself. And so on the cross, he looks down the ages from the beginning of mankind. He sees Adam and Eve from the cross. He sees how they broke from God. From the cross, he actually forgives them. In the Eastern Church, Adam and Eve are seen as gone to heaven. He sees Cain kill his brother. He sees, do you think same-sex attraction is new? He sees Sodom and Gomorrah. He sees every sin of every sinner down through the ages. Calvary is not just Mary and John standing there with Magdalene. Calvary is the whole world. And Jesus from the cross sees to the end of time. There is no sin that he did not forgive on Calvary. Every sinner finds in him forgiveness. And he actually sees you right now where you are. This particular moment, this particular day and year, and his look from the cross interpenetrates your heart. And so Jesus from the cross sees your sin in you and in me. And when we go to confession, all of us sinners, every one of us, none of us can come except Mary. She was conceived without sin and born without sin. She is the only sinless one. All of us are sinners. Joseph, her husband, was a sinner. All the prophets, Moses was a sinner. Abraham was a sinner. They were all sinners. All the saints of our time were sinners. Mother Teresa was a sinner. John Paul was a sinner. No one was in this world that did not have to come to Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness. And so it is with me and you. And so this powerful sacrament, when the priest makes the sign of the cross and says the words of absolution, Jesus from the cross sheds his blood and touches your soul, and your soul is cleansed of your sin. So what is your brokenness? Gluttony? Avarice? Greed, judgmentalness, envy. What is your sin? Lust? Every single person has a tendency, a characteristic flaw. And so all of us come to the Lord. The Eucharist helps us to be forgiven of our sins, but it is primarily meant to feed us his flesh and his blood, to increase within us that divine life which we've received in baptism. But the sacrament of reconciliation, like the sacrament of baptism, was meant to heal us of our sinfulness. And what a great gift it is when we, and I don't know, nor can I really get to know by myself. Introspection will never bring me an awareness of my sinfulness. The only one who can reveal to me my separation from Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. And so as you come each and every evening of your day, and each night as you come before the Lord, before you prepare yourself for this sacrament, call on the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you. Don't go digging and trying to find out what your wound is. You will never find it out by going over all the things you've ever done in your life. Your core wound has a tendency to escape you. It's that we can't see ourselves with our own eyes. The only one who really sees me as I am is God. God sees me and knows me and loves me. And he wants me to be one with his son, Jesus. He is my father. In order to get that work done of union with Jesus Christ, he sent the Holy Spirit. This is the day of the Holy Spirit. This is the time of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in each and every soul right now is operating and working and wanting to bring the sanctification of every single person. God wants each one to be with him in heaven. Every single day, every single hour, he is inviting us to become one with his child Jesus, because it is only in Christ and through Christ and with Christ that we can be pleasing to the Father. Each of us, each and every moment of our lives, right up until the moment in time we close our eyes in death, we are all tending toward God by the power of the Spirit, who is holy, and we can all fall victim to sin by the power of the evil one who is constantly tempting us. In the Our Father, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Children of God, we are redeemed by the blood and power of Jesus Christ. And we are also sinners, every single one. The Pope, the bishops, every priest, every religious, every baptized, every person has to say before they go to communion, O Lord, I am not worthy that you should come to me. Only say the word and I will be healed. No one is worthy. We are all redeemed sinners. And the sacrament of reconciliation is where we find our reunion with Jesus Christ by forgiveness of sins.